Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. I've been preaching through the book of Philippians chapter 3, this specific chapter, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. So if you haven't kept up with these and you want to hear the past messages, today I'm going to begin around verses 9 and 10 of Philippians chapter 3 concerning the resurrection of the dead. That's the title of the message, the resurrection of the dead. And if you'd like to go back and listen to the messages that I preached before, then be sure to go to our website. You can order them, or you can listen to them right there. But this is the resurrection from the dead. It's where the Apostle Paul has been writing by inspiration of the Spirit concerning the salvation of sinners, God in the new birth bringing sinners to faith in Christ, repentance of dead works, which Paul speaks of in verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. And he explained that. And he shows here that the only hope that sinners have of salvation, of being justified before God, and what is it to be justified? It's to be forgiven of all of our sins and declared righteous in God's sight. The only hope of any sinner attaining justification is to be found in Christ. Now, to be found in Christ, and he says that in verse 9. He says in verse 8, he talked about that I may win Christ and be found in him. To be in Christ. What does that mean? Well, it means that if I'm in Christ, there are several aspects of that. It means that God chose me before the foundation of the world in Christ. Ephesians 1 speaks of that. It means Christ is my representative before God, my high priest. That Christ is my surety, which means that all of the responsibility of my sins, all my sins, my fall in Adam, my own personal sins, sins of omission, sins of commission, sins past, present, future, the penalty, the payment, the debt of all my sins were placed on him, his charge, imputed, that's the word, imputed to him. In other words, he was chosen to be my surety, the surety of all of his people, all that the Father gave to him. And he took responsibility, he willingly did this now, took responsibility to pay the sin debt in full of his people by dying on the cross of Calvary for their sins. You see, that death, his death on Calvary was not just a token. It was not just an expression of God's love. It was the satisfaction of the debt. That's called redemption. And so to be in Christ is to be in him as my surety. And then it's to be in him as my substitute. That when he came to this world and assumed human nature, human body and soul without sin, he did it for me and he kept the law. He was made under the law to redeem, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. And that is being in him. He died for me on the cross. How do I know that Christ died for me? Well, to be in him is to be born again and brought to faith in him. It means I believe in him and I rest in him. I plead his blood and his righteousness as my only hope of salvation. And to be found in him, verse 9 here in Philippians 3, is to stand before holy God at the judgment in the beauty, in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a beautiful thing. See, if I'm found in Him, then there's no possible way that I can be condemned. Romans 8:1 says that there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but after the Spirit. They believe in Him. Romans 8, I think it's 33, says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, is risen again and seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession, to stand before God in my place as my intercessor, my mediator, my high priest. And so that's what it is to be in Christ. Well, Paul writes here in verse 9 of Philippians 3, I want to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith or the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. My hope is not, even in my own faithfulness. My hope and assurance of salvation is in Christ's faithfulness to do what he agreed to do in the covenant of grace. And what did he agree to do? He agreed to be my surety, my substitute, my redeemer, my intercessor. You see what I'm saying? He's faithful. The faith of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ, is perfection. Now, when God gives his people faith in the new birth, we have that faith, but we have it in these broken vessels, you might say, fleshly bodies. And we still have the sinful flesh to deal with. We're in a warfare. And our faith is always contaminated by our own doubts and misgivings. And so even though a believer, a true believer, believes and rests in Christ for all salvation, he's in a struggle with the world, with himself, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now the battle is sure to be won because of Christ who has the victory. He's not going to let his people go. If he took his sovereign hand of power off of me, I'd fall in a minute. But he won't let that happen for me to fall away completely, apostatize as you say. So my hope is in him, the righteousness of God in him. The Bible says in Acts 17:31 that God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, in that he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And what that's telling me is this: the only way that I can appear before God in the perfection of the righteousness of the law that's the only thing that God will accept, is to be found in Christ, having his righteousness charged to me. And so that's the righteousness of God, which is by faith. We receive it by God-given faith. Verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And that's the power of an endless life, the power of eternal life. Grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord, and being made and the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death. In other words, I am in Christ. When he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. And when he arose again, I arose again. He as my surety, my substitute, my redeemer. And then I identify with him against the world. I take sides with Christ because God gave me faith and repentance. I take sides with Christ and I stand against the world. And then look at verse 11. He says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now what's Paul talking about here? Well, the resurrection of the dead here is the final glorification of all of God's people in the end. When Christ comes back, he's going to raise his people from the dead, and he's going to give them new, perfect, spiritual bodies. They'll all be glorified together. And that's the resurrection of the dead. That's the culmination of everything that salvation is. The glorified realm of salvation when Christ comes again to destroy this world and to judge those who died in unbelief, but to gather His church, His children, God's elect believers unto Himself, and will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That's Paul's goal. That's the goal of every true believer, every sinner saved by grace, every justified person. Are my sins forgiven? If it's by the blood of Christ, yes. If I think it's anything else, I count it but loss. You see what I'm saying? It is the resurrection of the dead unto glorious, perfect, sinless, sorrowless life. No tears, no death, no sorrow. That's what he's talking about. And that's not just a pipe dream. Christ arose from the dead, and the book of 1 Corinthians 15 says he's the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, his resurrection from the dead proves that all of his sheep, all of his church will be raised from the dead and glorified with him. Now, when Paul says here in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, Paul's not saying I don't care how I get there, I get there. That's not what he's saying. Paul realized, as every other believer does, that we get there by the grace and the power of God in the righteousness or the blood of Christ. And that's how we get there. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. The only way of salvation, the only way of being justified, the only way of being born again and glorified is through the grace and the power of God based on the righteousness of Christ. But what Paul is saying is this, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of death. What he's saying is this, it doesn't matter what I go through here on this earth. When Paul wrote this book of Philippians, you know where he was? He was in jail. This is one of his prison epistles. You remember the story of the Philippian jailer in the book of Acts? This is where Paul was, and he wrote this letter in jail to the later on when he was in, I believe he was in Rome where he wrote this letter, but he was in prison at Rome. But he wrote this to the Philippians, and he called himself the prisoner of the Lord. He didn't say, I'm the prisoner of Caesar or the prisoner of Rome. What he recognized is that this was one of the ways that God was going to use him to get the gospel out. And so when he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection, no matter what I go through between now, the time of my death, and my resurrection, that's my goal. And nothing's going to hinder it. Being in jail is not going to hinder it. Being beheaded, which Paul was beheaded. Being opposed. Every true gospel believer has had to face opposition, mainly from their families, unbelieving family members. But nothing's going to hinder or stop the perfection that we will experience in the resurrection from the dead when Christ comes again. And so how do you know he's talking about this final resurrection, this glorification? Well, look at verse 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now Paul says, not as though I had already attained. He's talking now about something he has not attained yet. Something he has not reached yet. A point. Now Paul has attained salvation. Not by his works, not by his efforts, not by his own will or free will, as they call it. He had attained it because God sovereignly stopped him on the Damascus Road, and he was born again and brought to faith in Christ and repentance. See, our attaining salvation is not a matter of our efforts or our decision. It's a matter of God's sovereign grace. Paul said in Galatians 1, when it pleased the Lord to reveal himself in me. And that's what happened. God's good time. But he'd already attained salvation. And then Paul had already attained justification. Paul's sins were already forgiven. His righteousness was already complete and perfect. He stood before God in the perfection of righteousness, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:14 says this. It says, by one offering, Christ hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Those whom God set apart in election and in redemption and in the new birth, Christ has perfected them. They have attained the perfection of the law, again, not by their works, but by Christ's work for them as our surety, substitute, and redeemer. So he's already attained that. All the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. But there's something he had not yet attained. Something yet that's yet to be completed. And what is that? That's the final culmination of all things when Christ comes the second time without sin to destroy this earth and gather his people unto himself. He's talking about final glory. So he says, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. That is in the sense of final glorification. I am perfect in Christ. He is my righteousness, and there's no flaw. There's no sin. There's no contamination or corruption in the righteousness that I stand before God in, because it's Christ. But now me, you look at me and my inward thoughts and everything, I do believe I've been born again, I have a new heart, but I also have the flesh that contaminates everything I think, say, and do. And it's a struggle. That's a continual repentance in that way, godly sorrow over sin. So I'm not perfect in myself. And that's what Paul's saying. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. I'm not perfect in myself. I am perfect in Christ. In him, Colossians 2, 9 and 10, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. In him, in Christ. And that's why I spent some time earlier talking about what it means to be in him. But in myself, we sing a hymn at our church, only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. And another hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. And all other ground is sinking sand. Another hymn, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And one verse in that says, this is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. You understand what I'm saying? The perfection of the law for righteousness can only be found in Christ, not in me. And I look to him. So in that sense, I say with Paul, not as though I had already attained. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm perfect in Christ, but not yet perfect in myself. So either we're already perfect. But look at what he says in verse 12. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend. What does that mean, apprehend? It means to lay hold, grab hold of it. That for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I want to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. God is the first cause of all things, especially salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. My salvation was brought about not by my laying hold of Him, but of His laying hold of me. That's what happened, you know. My former pastor, he used to talk about the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. And he'd say this, he'd say, Paul was not going to a religious service. He was not going to a prayer meeting. He was not seeking the Lord. He was seeking Christians so that he might arrest them, bring them back and arrest them and have them executed. That's what he was wanting to do. But God laid hold of him, apprehended him, got hold of him. Christ grabbed him and put him on his face and blinded him physically, but opened his eyes spiritually, gave him spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear. Sent him to Ananias. And Paul had already heard the gospel. He heard Stephen preach it. He heard others preach it that he wanted to persecute. But God made it effectual unto his salvation. And so when he's talking about this glory, that's the reason God chose a people in Christ. That's the reason he purposed before the foundation of the world to save a people and gave them to Christ, that he would bring them ultimately to final glory, to live with him forever and ever and ever in uninterrupted blessing and fellowship without sin, without sorrow, without death. And Paul says, I want to lay hold of that. That's why he laid hold of me. So he says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't yet achieved final glory. I haven't yet attained it. When I say achieve, I don't mean you earn it. We don't earn it. But I haven't yet gotten there. But this one thing I do, Paul says, this was the determination of his mind, and that by the power of God. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So many people, when they talk about salvation, when they talk about assurance of salvation, they always go back into the past. And they always want to relate some experience they had that they thought was supernatural or spiritual. But Paul says, I forget all that. The only time that Paul ever related or referred back to his own experience on the Damascus Road was when he was trying to prove to believers that he was the actual Paul who before persecuted them. I am that man. But God did a work of grace. So he says, I forget those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, those things that are before me, that final glory in Christ. Not trying to work my way into God's favor, not trying to work my way into righteousness, not trying to work my way into salvation, but because I am apprehended of God, because I have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, born again by the Spirit of God, justified based on his righteousness imputed to me, I reach forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the mark, the prize, final glory, resurrection from the dead. Just as Christ arose from the dead, he will bring his people to be raised from the dead. You know, in the book of 1 Corinthians, there were some false preachers who crept into those churches saying that there is no resurrection of the dead. And Paul's argument against that is that cannot be, because if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ was not raised from the dead. And he was. And remember in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about how he was seen of over 500 witnesses after he died on that cross and was laid in that tomb for 3 days. He came out and he was seen of all kinds of people. And so we know he was raised from the dead. That's a historical fact. You can't deny that. I know people do. But it's a historical fact That's just as much a historical fact as claiming that George Washington was the first president of the United States. But we know that because history recorded. Well, history recorded this, biblical history. And so, if you deny the resurrection of the dead, that's a denial of Christ. Because in Adam all died, but in Christ shall all be made alive. That's what he says there. Christ gained the victory over death and the grave and hell. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It's all been conquered because of Christ. He died, and in his death, he finished the transgression. He made an end of sin, and he brought in everlasting righteousness. So he says, I press toward the mark of the high calling. And it's a high calling. I call it advanced citizenship. Christianity is not an easy life, true Christianity. It's not a life of, it's not a bed of roses, as the old song used to say, a rose garden. It's not health and wealth all the time. As he said back up here, he said the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Marvel not if the world hates you. People will have to stand against their nearest and dearest relatives who do not believe this gospel. You're to love them, but you can't speak peace to them. And so he says, I press, and it's a pressing. It's an effort now. It's not trying to be saved by works or hard work, but it is a determination of mine that is brought about by God-given faith and repentance and perseverance. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, that resurrection from the dead, the resurrection of the dead, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.